I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Producers Wealth. If you're interested to set up your infinite banking policy correctly and have access to a coach that will help you use your infinite banking strategy to grow your business and your investment portfolio, and having your capital work in more than one place simultaneously, and protect your capital from market downturns, taxes, predators, and creditors, you can watch a presentation of exactly how you can do this at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at CashflowNinja.com. And I've also launched our mastermind, my inner circle called Cashflow Nirvana. If you are a business owner and investor that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, that is the community for you. You can join Cashflow Nirvana by going to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Steve Hoffman, also known as Captain Hoff. Steve, welcome to the show.
Fantastic to be here.
Now, for folks that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with us? You are big in the startup space. You are very knowledgeable on everything technology and all of these other virtual technologies. But share a little bit about your background and journey with us, if you don't mind.
Sure. I started out as an entrepreneur. I did three venture-funded startups in Silicon Valley, where I'm based. I also launched Founderspace. And Founderspace is a global startup incubator and accelerator. We work with thousands of entrepreneurs all over the world. We have offices, lots of them in Asia. We work in Europe. We work in the Middle East. And what we do is we help entrepreneurs launch their companies and raise capital and then scale their businesses. So that's what I do. I'm also an author. I've written three books, Make Elephants Fly, which is all about the process of radical innovation, Surviving a Startup, published by HarperCollins, which is about surviving a startup, what you need to know to survive, and The Five Forces That Change Everything, which is really about the emerging technologies coming out today. And that's what we're going to talk about, some of these that are going to change everything we do, how we live, how we work, how we invest.
I think that's a great starting point. Can you just share some of those five forces just briefly with us? Because I think that'll set the table for our conversation around technology and the disruption that's coming because of it.
Well, a big one right now, and we're seeing it happen, and I wrote this book not that long ago, but before this huge trend happened, is AI. So we see right now ChatGPT from OpenAI coming out and really blowing people away. They're like, oh my God, I can type anything into this AI and it gives me amazing results. Like it'll write for me. It'll do, you know, it'll find stuff for me. It'll get knowledge for me. It's like Wikipedia and everything else bound up in an AI that you can communicate with. So that is the future. And I write a lot about how the next generation of AI is going to just totally transform what we do. Another force of the five forces, number two, is CRISPR gene editing. So basically, we have uncovered the source code for life on this planet, human life, animal life, plant life, and it's source code. It's like we, with gene editing, we can literally code this like we code a computer and generate new forms of life, plants that never existed, animals that never existed, cures for diseases like cancer they're working on in the lab. Totally amazing. Going to change our entire food industry, health industry, everything. The next one, nanotech. So there's nanotech is going on right now. People don't hear much about it. But what I'm writing about is what's in the lab, what's coming in the pipeline. These new materials that will simply blow people away because they're like stronger than steel, but incredibly lightweight. Materials that can do things that materials we have today can't, like build batteries that can hold charges, you know, that don't require lithium, that can last forever. These materials are being developed. And they are going to transform transportation, you know, how we drive, our energy infrastructure, our clothing will be nano clothing in the future. It'll be like our computers will be wearable. All this stuff is coming. Next one is virtual and augmented reality and the metaverse. So, and I think we're going to dive into that too today. What is the metaverse? How does it work? People are speculating on land in the metaverse right now in a big way. There's NFTs and on blockchain and all these different things. What is the future for those? And I kind of wrap up the book with the idea of superintelligence. What happens as we build machines that literally become smarter than we are, or as smart as we are? And we're on the path to that now. We can see that with artificial intelligence. It is getting there step by step. And it's not if it will happen, it's when it happens. So when it happens, and it will happen probably in our lifetime, that we'll have computers as smart as people and smarter than us in certain areas, what does that mean for our society? What does that mean for our business? What does that mean for investing?
It's, and I was just thinking when you said that too, there might come a time, if you look at what Elon Musk is working on with Neuralink, you're looking at now Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos working with Synchrony, these chip, brain chip implants.
I go in depth on brain chips in the book because I'm totally fascinated with this. My big belief is that most of us won't be inserting chips into our brains. I mean, if you have a medical condition, right now, they can insert a chip into your brain if you are completely paralyzed that can allow you to send messages over the internet. It can allow you to control an iPad. It can allow you to drive around in a wheelchair. Really cool stuff. But when this goes mass market, what they're going to have are non-invasive brain-computer interfaces, literally a device you wear on your head, like a little band around your head, or even as small as an earbud that you put in your ear that literally reads your brain waves and allows you to communicate two-way. And they're working on this. This technology is not science fiction. It's crude right now. It's not putting a chip in your brain is much higher fidelity. It actually works. They can do this. Doing it with a non-invasive one, they can only do very simple things. But like you can go on Amazon today and buy a Muse headband. And you can do things like turn off and on the lights, control a PowerPoint. You can use it for biofeedback when you're meditating. That exists right now, and you can buy it for a couple $100. It will get better and better and better in the coming years.
Yeah, I just going over this list: AI, gene editing, nanotech, virtual reality, and augmented reality, super intelligence. I mean, it's an incredible world that's going on right now.
I like to say, we ain't seen nothing yet. Like all the cool technology we've seen so far, this is going to blow it away, what's coming in the pipeline.
I was just actually reading a book recently where they look at capital flows into a certain type of businesses. All of these businesses that you just mentioned, specifically AI, gene editing, nanotech, that's was in the book of huge capital flows going into that.
Huge,
so you've got a ton of money going in there.
People know that one breakthrough, like let's just take brain computer interfaces that we were talking about. The person the startup or the company that really pioneers brain computer interfaces and makes it work on a mass scale, suddenly who do they become? They displace Google. They displace Microsoft. They displace Apple. Because literally, you don't need a phone. You don't need a laptop. If you have a truly high-fidelity brain-computer interface, your brain can literally talk to the cloud, talk to the internet. You are plugged into the internet. And what you need is a brain-computer operating system, not an iOS, not Android, not Windows. And that will disrupt everything we know today about technology. one invention. And that's just one area. The same applies to gene editing. The same applies to space technology. The same applies to all these different sectors. So yes, all that money is going into this because they know that the payoff, if they hit it right, is absolutely enormous.
I want to take a moment to share the most exciting project I've ever worked on and a project that will be my primary focus in the weeks, months, and years ahead. I've launched the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind. The Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind is the inner circle of the Cashflow Ninja ecosystem. In our exclusive mastermind, business owners and investors have access to all the strategies, tactics, tools, and community to build and protect wealth in turbulent times and crisis. Join a community of resilient business owners and investors that are building a parallel economy and the future during times of chaos. As a member of the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind, you will receive a monthly newsletter and video newsletter with intel business owners and investors need to know, bonus reports, bi-weekly Zoom calls, and a bonus monthly happy hour Zoom call to network within the community. Access to a community social platform to interact with community members. The Cashflow Ninja Rolodex that includes all of our preferred vendors and partners. A parallel economy and members Rolodex. The goal there is for members to do business with each other. Deal flow of our community. Get access to the best deals available from our preferred operators and members as they become available. Educational content that includes how to create a strategy right now and how to create a business right now. You can join the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind. Go to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana.
So let's stick to with AI for a second, because ChatGPT was just recently launched, and that is the buzz at the moment. I played around with it over the weekend, and I was first kind of like, I couldn't believe it, and then I was scared, and then I was back to I couldn't believe it. Tell me what's, because this is what we're, this is now at like the general public level. This is not
This isn't in the lab. They released it interacting with
an AI robot. So tell me a little bit about this. And for folks listening, because we've got a ton of business owners and investors, initially, like, what are some of the applications that folks can use this for? What are some and leverage it for their businesses and for investments?
Okay. So first of all, it's so easy to use. You just go to, you know, do a Google search on chat. GPT, it'll come up on top, click in, you sign up with an account, and in 2 minutes, you're using it. And it's just a chatbot. So you're literally typing in stuff and it gives you stuff back. It's based on text. So whatever text you type in, you can start prompting it to give you feedback. So you can do cool things. I'll tell you some of the things I've been doing. I said, write me a short story about robots. And it literally wrote a short story about robots, like right there. I put in information like anything you want to know on Wikipedia, you know, what's the capital of Uganda? You know, how many people are there in Uganda? Really cool. But it takes it to the next level. You can say, I want you to write me an essay on this topic for my school paper. It will literally write you that essay. And the more information you give it about the essay, the more it will write you. I want you to write me an essay about George Washington, you know, and the, you know, being the first president of the United States, the Revolutionary War, and what happened afterwards. And then it will start to write you an essay. And you can, it will write a portion at the beginning, and then you can click. You can type in expand upon this. And if you type in those three magic words, it'll write more. It'll like keep writing for you. So essays are one thing. Blog posts are another. Like blog posts are short. So it's actually for essay, for writing a really good essay, you're probably still going to want to do it yourself, although you can get a lot of information from it. But it can literally write you a whole blog post. So you can write me a blog post on, you know, how to do a great podcast. And it will literally go out there and write you a blog post on every step you need to do a great podcast. And you can publish that, or you can just learn from it. This is the beauty of it. And I want to say, Chat GPT is one product from OpenAI. They have another one called DALL-E. And have you heard of DALL-E?
No, how is that spelled?
DALL-E. And it's a play on DALL-E, the surrealist painter.
Yep.
But what it is it does. So Chat GPT is all text, right? You type in text and it gives you cool text back, you know, whatever you want to know. DALL-E is all visual. So you type in text like, I want you to create me a picture of Einstein floating in outer space in a spacesuit. And literally up pops a picture of a unique picture that never existed before that they generated just purely with AI based on sampling millions of other pictures of Einstein floating in outer space in a spacesuit. It will do that in 2 seconds. Then you can say, I want variations on this. And it will start to create variations. Yep. And you could say, no, actually what I want is Einstein floating in a spacesuit in the style of Vincent van Gogh. And literally that picture will come up in the style of Vincent van Gogh. Or, and this is something I did recently. I wanted a logo for a project I'm working on. You know, you could hire a graphic artist, like, you know, we all do that. What I did was I searched on the internet for logos. I picked out some reference art, like the style I wanted. And then I literally, DALL-E allows you to upload the reference art and then create variations on that. So I could literally, you can upload your own photo, a photo of your face, a photo of your family, a photo, and then you can type in variations and you can start to create permutations of this until I got one that was just right for me.
It's incredible. I mean, we have a business in the life insurance industry where we help business owners and investors implement and execute infinite banking. So I was asking ChatGPT, like, what are the most frequently asked questions about infinite banking? And it just threw out, you know, a list of questions. And then you could take each question and say, please write me an article about this question. And then he writes it for you. And
it's going to put writers out of business. And you can literally say, write this article in the style of somebody you like, you know, if you are a big fan of John Oliver, right? Yep. You like his humor style. You could say, write me the article on infinite banking in the style of in the voice of John Oliver, and it will do it. Like, it'll come out. It's mind blowing.
There's even a computer coder in our network that played around with it and asked it to code a specific code.
Oh, yes.
And it did 10 hours of coding, what would take this individual 10 hours, in 10 seconds.
Yes. Because what it does, and this is how AI works, this is why it's so powerful, and I really go in depth on this when I write about it. What AI does is it samples millions of samples, like of code, of images, of text on the internet. So it's absorbing all these. And then what it does is it has a deep learning algorithm that allows it to take all these things and reassemble it, creating something unique. So it's a unique thing. It's like a remix of remixing, but remixing with, you know, all the information in the world.
Yeah. And to your point, when you were saying, oh, it's going to put writers out of business, that was my first response over the weekend when I was playing around with it too. Because of course, the internet changed things, right? It took away a lot of jobs at that point, but created an entire world of abundance where people were able to build businesses on and so forth. So first you're like, oh, wow, most people what they're doing, it's obsolete. That's your first kind of reaction. Then your second step is, well, how does this then produce the same effect than the internet did? Because I remember I was in a college and university in South Africa. And that the internet boom was just really, it was taking off at that stage, right? 97, 98, 99. People were scared at that point first, right? But then, you know, when I went into the workforce, I mean, it became people started adopting it and saw the incredible opportunity. So it's kind of like flipping the script from scarcity to abundance. How does this fit into that kind of model that I just shared?
So this is my word to everyone out there, all your listeners, is literally, if you aren't leveraging AI for your business right now, or your job, your career, you are missing out. And you're going to be left behind. Because AI, if you're an artist, you better be using AI, right? To make yourself way more productive and way more creative, right? Why wouldn't you? It saves you thousands and thousands of hours in doing stuff that you can do automatically. If you're a writer, just like we said, you're still going to want writers to go over the copy and make it sound better and tweak things. But look, get the first draft done on AI and get all the research done using AI. We see it with self-driving cars, right? You know, literally every AI is going to enter. If you own a shipping business, you better be thinking about how do we automate our entire, you know, transportation. AI, the AI is like electricity. It literally is going to power every business, because every single business on the planet can be made smarter. Now, what does this mean for us, like the workers, right? There'll be a lot of job displacement. Like literally, you won't need, let me give you an example. So we think of the arts are protected, right? You know, if you're an artist, if you're creative, AI can't touch you. Well, that's been proven isn't the case. Yeah. Right now, Spotify acquired an AI company. Why do you think Spotify bought an AI company? They bought an AI music company. It can literally make music that is indistinguishable from the pop music you listen to on a regular basis, or whatever music, classical music, you know, reggae, it doesn't matter, jazz. AI, by sampling millions of hours of music, can come up with music that you can't tell was written by an AI. You literally don't know if it was written by an AI or human. And now the voice synthesis for AI is getting to the point where they could even add vocals to it. It doesn't just have to be the music. So why did Spotify do this? Well, they pay enormous amounts of money licensing songs. What if they can generate, and they're doing this now and they're not telling you, they're actually doing it. What if they can generate AI music that you can't distinguish from real music? It gives you, it's like amazing, it's cool, you love it. And they make up a band name and they literally put it onto the channel, and it's free for them. Once they create it, they never have to pay royalties. We're gonna see, there's Bloomberg and all these other services are now experimenting with news written not by journalists, but by AI. So they literally have AI going out there, and they're using it for very simple news. Financial news, when you just need updates about, you know, a summary of, you know, quarterly reports, you know, what a stock is doing, the weather. Also, like, you know, you don't need an expert writer to write the weather. You just need it in readable format. All that stuff is being right now being written by AI. And if it's not, that whoever the news broadcaster still having humans do it, they're paying way too much, because an AI can do it literally once you set it up for free.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com.
No, it's you know, I always say that with between AI, robotics, 3D printing, 5G, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, all this technology, because I mean, it's rolling out, and it's rolling out so quickly, that is going to lead to a lot of disruption, which will manifest itself chaotically. So my message to folks listening to this, do not let this scare you. You understand what's busy happening. Most people will not. And unfortunately, the folks that do know what's happening and why it's happening and where it's going next, you can position yourself so to surf this wave rather than drown in this wave.
Exactly. And you know, what I do is I'm always looking at these technologies because I'm investing in the companies, the startups that are created. And I help investors actually figure out which startups are going to go, which ones have something unique, and which ones are just, you know, copycats, or their technology isn't really there and you shouldn't be investing.
What's happening with other applications, robotics, and maybe there's a an overlap with robotics and AI? Because I see like there was a lot of people, even during the pandemic, that used some robot dog, you know, in like
Hong Kong, or
Singapore or somewhere. And now somebody was doing a demo on a potential quote unquote super soldier where there's robots running around. And I'm sitting there going, where's the Terminator coming?
So first of all, any robot is only as smart as the AI inside of it, right? So, you know, the brains of the robot are the AI, and that's the part that really matters because you want these to be smart. Then the robot part, the physical part of it could be anything. It could be a robot dog. It could be a drone. We're seeing this now with, you know, drones going out, yep. Military drones and consumer drones. It can be a robot like a Roomba in your house. Like, I have a Roomba. It's great. You know, it has yep. AI in it, and it's getting smarter every year, right? Our RoboVacs are getting smarter. Your Nest thermostat is getting smarter. These things are getting smarter because AI is getting smarter. The challenge though for robots, and this is the big challenge, is the AI is progressing at an exponential pace, like not linearly, like it's improving exponentially as we're seeing. But the physical mechanics of actually making a robot, those are much harder. Like that's like, it's hard to build a really good functional robot, and that's progressing more slowly. So the real bottleneck for robots is they're becoming much, much smarter, but we also need to make them function in the world. Like they need power source, right? You don't want your robot always running out of power. So to build like a robot servant in your house, that's going to require a lot of power. How do you power this? How do you keep it charged? You know, if they go on a walk with you, would they suddenly run out of battery after, you know, half an hour? And then what do you do with your robot when it runs out of battery, your robot servant? So what we're seeing is usually new technologies break through, not because of an advance in one particular area, but advances in multiple areas. So we're seeing like with our electric vehicles, batteries are becoming, you know, more powerful. They can hold charges longer. They're faster to recharge. We're seeing the mechanical devices that we're building with new technologies and new materials, as we talked about, nanomaterials are improving. All of these will converge, and we are going to see in the next 5 and 10 years, robots that are really useful, even more useful than the robots we see today, like Roombas around our house, like the mopping devices, like different things like that. We're going to see ones that can literally come into our lives and do stuff for us, like go pick up a package, do things, robot delivery to your front door. You know, Amazon's been working on this for a long time. A lot of companies are. All of this stuff is happening. It won't happen tomorrow, but the areas it's going to impact the most, I'll say right away, are healthcare. Like healthcare, you know, they already have robot surgery, robot assist. Yep. And the robots, once you train a robot, like most surgeries are pretty routine. Like, and doctors make mistakes. Like doctors get tired. They didn't sleep well. They have a flu. They're not, you know, but a robot could literally do the same surgery every time, precisely the same way. So we're seeing huge advances in robot surgery. Populations are aging around the world, you know, Japan, Europe, China, here in the US, we're having aging population. We don't have enough people to actually fill the jobs for taking care of our elderly. Like in Japan, they're in a crisis state. You know, South Korea, it's a crisis right now. Like they literally don't have enough young people to do these jobs. We're going to have robots step in. And where there's that extreme need, there's an extreme opportunity also for investors, right? Robots that do stuff like take care of elderly, those are going to be the first ones to kind of break through in a big way.
Yeah, it's interesting to see a lot of this stuff comes from, you see it kind of being rolled out through military technology, and then it slowly makes its way in to the private sector. I'm thinking about drones, right? You know, drones was a military application, and now, you know, we're going to have Amazon dropping off packages with drones at our homes.
And another one, like military, is exoskeletons, right? So the military has invested a huge amount because they need to carry big amounts of weight. And an exoskeleton is basically a device you put on your body that gives you like robotic strength, superhuman strength. You wear this and you can pick up a package, and they're going to be there. Those started in the military to carry these huge backpacks when they go into the field, and they've made it so somebody would with a giant backpack weighing, you know, 150 pounds can literally run up a steep mountainside with an exoskeleton. They're using those in warehouses now, in factories and all sorts of places, and they're becoming really powerful. So those technologies can also be used for people who are disabled. Like you literally put an exoskeleton on a person who can't walk and suddenly they can walk. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. So for listeners and for viewers that might be a little shocked at first with this conversation, my mission is to turn challenges and all of these things into opportunities. So there's a ton of opportunity in here and a ton of ways that you can leverage this to position yourself to surf this wave instead of drowning with it. Let's move over to our conversation on the virtual and augmented reality. Lots of stuff happening in that space as well. What's the latest? What's going on there?
Well, you know, Apple's getting ready. The rumor is getting ready to launch its new augmented reality glass. And if anybody can make a sea change in augmented reality, it's Apple. So let me define this first for your listeners. Virtual reality is where you enter an immersive space that is virtual. That's computer generated space, and you can interact with avatars, other people, you know, characters, buildings, navigate the space. Augmented reality is where you layer digital content over the real world. So it's like I'm wearing glasses right now, and all of a sudden, on top of everything I'm seeing are digital images that I can interact with. This is what Apple is going to be launching. And other people have tried. And let me just say, it's really, really hard to get right. So it's really hard. Both virtual reality, the metaverse, and augmented reality are things that have been promised for years, right? We've heard many, many hype cycles over these, and they haven't materialized. And I will tell you exactly why they haven't materialized. And this is why I think Zuckerberg, although he's right in the long run, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, obsessed with his renaming his company Meta for the metaverse, obsessed with this. He's right that eventually it will happen. But we all know in business, if it doesn't happen in 5 years, you're wasting your money. Like literally, you're spending a lot of money on something there's no market for. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't provide a super useful thing today for us, we will try it out and move on. And we've seen this with technologies over and over and over. The problem with virtual reality and augmented reality is number one, this. They have to beat a device that is incredibly useful and intuitive and easy to interface with. And that is what we call our phone, right? Yep. Our smartphone. Like literally, if I want to do something on a chat with a friend on a social network, you know, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, you know, Instagram, literally in 2 seconds, I can be into the app, send something, and then I'm back to my normal life. That's how people want to interact. When you go into the metaverse or augmented reality, especially like the metaverse, you literally have to put on a bulky headset. It takes time to put it on, and you have to have it available. You have to enter that space, and then you have to navigate a virtual space, usually in 3D, which is really tough for most people to do. And by the time you chat with your friend, you've already spent you know 15 minutes even getting to the point of chatting. That's not how people want to interact. Right? Yep. People want to interact until getting into the metaverse or augmented reality, if they're laying digital content over the real world, until it's as easy to interact with as our phone, we will try it out as a novelty and then we'll go back to our phone. Because it has to do something different that they don't do in a way that is so absolutely compelling that you're like, wow, I will spend 15 minutes or an hour. So what I call the metaverse, when people really engage with the metaverse, it's not short form interaction. The phone is brilliant at short form, really short intervals, right? In and out to apps really quickly. It's long form. So it has to be that experience of going into the metaverse has to rival real life, right? Like you have to feel like it's so real and so big that you want to live in that space. And the best examples of this are like games, right? So if you have, like, there are 3D games out there that literally people spend hours or days, like they never want to leave those games, right? That's an area that is already taking off. So gaming in the metaverse, and you can call the games as a subset of the metaverse, right? That area is really hot. For more practical applications like communicating with people, networking, doing other stuff. Nah. People still prefer the phone.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I could see it's working for the gamers, but it really hasn't had the adoption that, you know, that a lot of people expected. Is it going to be easier if you just put on sunglasses?
So, you know, if you're wearing glasses and you layer it over, it's not necessarily easier, because you still, how do you interact with this content, right? Yeah. Will Apple be able to come through a way where it's as easy to interact with this content and it's not annoying, like have content layered over your video? Like the phone is nice. It goes away when you don't want it, right? You can focus on it and then you don't have to have it in front of your face. The question is, you know, consumer, people's behavior and psychology is as important as the technology. Just because we can do something with technology doesn't mean people want you to do it. So you have to figure out the way where it's adding enough value, it's being useful enough and doing stuff you can't do with your phone or other devices, your computer, that you're like, okay, I'll put up with these glasses. I'll do it, because we all saw with Google Glass, you know, it wasn't that great. People tried it out, got a huge amount of hype, and then they're like, I don't need it. I don't need this in my life.
I want to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlement Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
The big goggles reminds me of the big cell phones.
You know? Yeah, these giant, like, you know, they're all these technology in, there'll be a, you know, when we have brain computer interfaces that literally we can put stuff in front of our vision and control it just by thinking, boom, that's when true augmented reality comes, you know, will be very, very useful. And we can turn it on and off just with a thought. Then we'll start, like, literally, it would be nice to have like digital content that you can just summon up. Oh, I want to see that spreadsheet. I want to see that graph. And boom, it's right in front of your face. I don't have to wear glasses. It's literally projecting it into my mind and then combining that with my vision, and I get to see it. But that's still a long way off. That's not, so like, I think Zuckerberg is a little deluded. Like, people who get too much power and too much control, we often see that they think they can do more than they can. We see it with Elon Musk and everybody else, right? They get a little too big on themselves. Like, I got to prove to the world I'm right. The really smart, like brilliant inventors don't lead with the idea. They lead with testing the market and seeing where the demand is. So you look at somebody like Steve Jobs, right? Truly brilliant. Every product he did, he wasn't really the first to market on. Like, he wasn't the first guy. Like, literally, there were tons of MP3 players before he came out with the iPod. There were tons of smartphones like the Palm Pilot before he came out with the iPhone. Like, these were products he saw the demand. He saw how useful they were. And then he decided, I can make them so much better. Like, the demand has to be there. And this is one thing I teach, like, when investing, like, look at the demand out there. Don't look at the cool buzzwords and the technology thing. If you're investing, is there demand there? Can you see a previous version of it? And there almost always is a previous version of whatever you're talking about. What we see in the metaverse right now is there is no demand. Like, people go into these virtual worlds, they get a ton of hype, people go in, and then in a short time later, they're gone. They don't go back. Like, the demand isn't there.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, because you have the metaverse, and I'm guessing there's many different verses inside of the metaverse. So Apple would have their own kind of world that compete with these two.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, the metaverse is kind of a blanket term, right? That encompasses augmented reality, virtual reality, you know, to some extent games and all these, you know, everybody will want to own the relationship with the user, because that's where the value is, right? You get, you bring in a lot of users, you build something, the value becomes, the more users you bring in, the more valuable it becomes, the network effect, right? And you get a monopoly, and you have something extremely valuable. This is what we've seen throughout the history of the internet, right? Over and over and over. In the metaverse, people are trying to do this. And there's been a lot of different things in the metaverse that have, you know, done. We had Second Life. That was an early version of the metaverse, right? Really hyped up, huge thing. And then it just collapsed, like literally imploded. Why? Because at the end of the day, everybody went in to try it out, but there was only a niche audience that really wanted to spend a lot of time in there. What we saw recently is with the blockchain and crypto, people started buying property in yep. the metaverse, right? They're like, oh my God, I could buy a building in the metaverse. And the company startups sprung up, you know, Decentraland, Sandbox. They were startups that literally allowed you to build a 3D version of a building, a house, a stadium, any sort of space, and have people come in with their avatars and be in that space. And people thought, and they limited the space, right? So they created a restriction. They're like, we only have so many plots of land. And if you want one, especially in a prime location, like where there are other popular things like Snoop Dogg and celebrities, you know, setting up their ones or big brands, you know, Atari set up one. If you want one of those, you have to pay more. And then the price started going up. Now, what we found out with Decentraland and Sandbox and all these others was it seemed like a great investment. Like it seemed like, oh my God, this is like where you should be putting your money because the price is going through the roof. I paid, you know, $2 for this and now it's worth $20,000. Like who doesn't want that ROI? Like yep. We all want it. But what the dirty little secret was that nobody was actually spending much time in here. Like these places were like really, except for some events that they threw where they did a ton of marketing and pumped people in, people weren't sticking around. They would come in, they'd look, they would leave. But the price kept going up. Why was that? Speculation. Like if somebody is willing to pay more for what you're selling and you think you could sell it for more, you'll buy it, right? So everybody was buying this on speculation to flip it. To literally flip it and make themselves rich overnight, just like all the tokens out there, like that people have been flipping for a long time. So it was another permutation. Same with NFTs, right? It was all about flipping them. But what I look for in a sustained, so there's two types. You can be a speculator or an investor. A speculator is somebody who comes in and they don't care about the long term. They're like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to get in while it's hot and get out, hopefully get out before it crashes. That's what most of these things ended up. An investor or somebody who says, no, there is real long-term value here. I see that that people are going to stick around and this is going to be useful, a useful part of their lives, either entertainment or utility value, right? Doing something for me. Yep. And that is why I'm investing. And to me, I tend to lean, I'm not a speculator. So I you can get enormous growth out of something that has utility. You might as well pick those rather than the speculations where you most of the time you never know when the top is and when it's going to plummet and you never know when to sell. So you're going to get burned, right? Unless you're just really lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is very, very interesting stuff. I mean, I really appreciate you sharing on this. I'm always fascinated because you're in such a fast moving space. But I'm always fascinated to hear what wealthy and successful people are studying and learning. Anyway, very interested to hear what you're learning and studying these days because you're in a space that's just moving at the speed of light or even faster.
Yes. So I'm constantly learning. Like the one thing I know, and this is what I'll tell every investor out there that listens to you, is you never have to think you know it all and you should never stop learning and you will always be surprised, right? There's always some, we've seen a lot of great investments in the past. There are going to be many more, even bigger ones in the future. So what I'm doing is, first of all, I love technology. So I'm constantly researching technology. That's why I wrote the book, The Five Forces. It was just something I was doing anyway, right? Researching all this technology. Yep. Then I spend a lot of time learning about how technology translates into business. Because technology in and of itself, no matter how cool it is very low value. It's not a great investment. You don't want to invest in tech. Literally, I will tell you, artificial intelligence, which we're just now seeing the benefits of, has been around for like 60 years, six decades, right?
Yep.
Of artificial, you know, since like the 50s, that's almost 70 years, you know.
Yep.
artificial intelligence says these algorithms have been around, but they weren't of value until all the other pieces came into place, like broadband internet, processing power, you know, people having, you know, phones and devices and locations and all this data that we're gathering. That's when AI came into value. So what I tell people is what you want to do is you want to always be reading about, you know, what makes technology valuable in our society and in our economy. This, like, if you're a good investor, so literally what I do is I read at least one book a week, usually two. And I'll tell you my secret for getting this done, because I'm an extremely busy person. Like, I'm always traveling. Like, I was just in Turkey, Uzbekistan, Singapore, Malaysia on my last trip. I just got back, and then I'll be traveling again. How do I do it? What I do is I listen to audiobooks and I listen at double speed. So I listen at double speed and I do it on a plane, because I will literally get, or in an airport or in a car or in even in the shower, I will be listening to podcasts like yours, right? Yeah. I listen at double speed and audiobooks. So podcasts and audiobooks, like, I'm just sucking them in, right? And that's how I stay on top of things.
Awesome. The show that I'm doing is a lot about leaving a legacy, principles, values, not just about money. So one of the questions that I always ask one of our the first time someone's on our show is, if you cannot pass on money, but you are only allowed to pass on three principles and values to future generations to help them build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
These would be the three things. Number one, if you're going to invest, because this is an investing show, right? Invest in companies that create good value for the world, right? That help people, you know, medical companies, companies that help people with new clean energy sources, companies that produce food in a sustainable way. You know, put your money to good use, right? Don't just invest in companies that there's a lot of scam companies out there that you can, like, that, you know, that are really just out to make money at the expense of society. Don't do that. Number one. Number two, in your actions, and investing is just one of your actions, you know, ask yourself at the end of your life, you're not taking any of this money with you, right? So all you're leaving behind is your reputation, right? Yep. And how, and you, your reputation is two things. What does the world think of you? But more importantly, what do you think of yourself? Are you proud of what you've done? Are you proud of how you've done it? So think, when you make decisions in your life, whether it's investing or living or anything else, you know, how you treat your family, how you allocate your time, do you spend it with your family or other people? Am I proud of these decisions? Like, am I being the person that I want to be? And try, and always try to aspire and exceed what your, you know, what those goals are. That's number two. And then number three, what I want people to do for their values and their life is to really think, how can I give back? Like, what are the things that I can offer? And you don't have to give back. I mean, you can write checks like Warren Buffett does and Bill Gates. That's wonderful, right? They've been incredibly successful and they have given back enormous amounts. Like, I can't even say enough good things about, you know, what they're doing with their money. If you have that type of wealth, give back. If you don't, you can give a smaller portion. But even more importantly, do you have special talents that you can give back? Like, can you donate your talents, even if you have very little money, your talents and time to things that you really think other people are overlooking, that people aren't focused on, that are really, really so important for this world? And, you know, I was watching a documentary last night on Netflix, you know, about a lot of people who are struggling with disabilities, right? And it's really hard right now to get disability insurance because there are a lot of scams. A lot of people are scamming the system and there's a huge backlog because of these scams. You know, are there disabled people in your community that you can literally go out and figure out how to help? And you could help them with your personal time or money, or you could help them even better with your business. Like, can your business offer something to people in your community that really makes a difference?
Fantastic. Captain Hoff, this has been a blast. Where can people learn more about you? Where can they follow you? And where can they stay informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
So you can literally go on any social network and search for Captain Hoff. I'm there. You'll find me. Or Founderspace. That's my company, Founderspace. And you can go to founderspace.com. go there. I have lots of videos, educational videos. I'm always doing those. I have my books. You can check out my books and you can reach out to me. Contact me directly.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners and my viewers.
Thank you, MC. I love your show and it's been a pleasure being here.
Fantastic. And thank you to you, the listeners and the viewers, for spending your most valuable resource, your time once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. And if you want to join my inner circle, Cashflow Nirvana, which is my mastermind, you could go to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.